Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, wealth advisor for Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94 between Highway 164 and Highway F in the Ridgeview Corporate Park, and also in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank building across from Winkies. We also service clients in Bonita Springs, Florida, so visit ellenbecker.com for more details. My guest today is Jason Seymour, president of Forest Home Cemetery, which is located in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's a 174-year-old independent nonprofit cemetery. And today we're going to talk about the future of cemeteries and in the future of death care traditions. Kind of a bit of a harrowing way to word that, but you know, once we get involved in this conversation, I think we're all going to learn so much. So Jason, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, Heather, this is really something I'm grateful for. I appreciate you guys reaching out and offering us the opportunity to just sit down and talk with you.
Yeah, I think that's great as well. Let's kind of dive in. If you want to just give us a little introduction, talk about your background and what your role is at Forest Home Cemetery.
Yeah, I think just like anybody that comes into cemetery life, there's a windy road that gets you there.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I had 25 years of experience in information technology. And I had gotten to this point where I had been running my own consulting practice and I had stopped to ask myself, where am I going to go with this over the next 2 decades.
And
when I looked at the market of IT consulting practices, I discovered that most of them, 60% or more, right, were under 5 employees.
Yeah.
And 90% were under 10.
Mm-hmm.
And that was somewhat problematic for me because I wanted to make an impact by helping other people become as strong as they possibly could be.
Right.
And so that kind of called me into, well, where do I take this? And through a series of different steps, I ended up here at Forest Home. I was actually approached by the former executive director. And she had said, hey, you know, you have a unique skill set and an empathetic style.
Mm-hmm.
I'd really like to sit down and have you consider this.
That's amazing. So what's it been like since you've joined? And how long have you been in this role?
So I'm just over a year.
Congratulations.
Right? So I'm newly minted in yeah. the cemetery space, and it has been a really good challenge for me, a unique challenge for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from an industry that's fast paced and doesn't use paper for anything, and coming into an industry that is very much about making sure we don't forget.
Right.
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 And so I've had to really learn fast, which, you know, years of IT experience would work and build for me. But the thing that really excites me about it in 1 year is I have a diverse team.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They have They have varying perspectives on things. They have varying sets of experience. And that's been a lot of fun to kind of coalesce that around, hey, what are we going to do differently now? We've done some things for 174 years. How do we go ahead and take the cemetery and make it something more engaging for the community?
Right. Cemeteries are such a huge part of the community. I know we're going to talk about that even in greater detail later. But, you know, when you just mentioned even the difference in the use of technology, say, right, when it comes to maintaining a legacy for people, like a cemetery does, right? And you said, oh, it's very, you know, going to, and then looking at it from a technology perspective that uses like very little paper and really kind of doesn't maybe keep legacy information in the same type of way. I suppose that was another voice. Like you were able to bring another perspective and learn from others on your team.
Oh, without a doubt. And you take all of the background that they bring and you throw new tools for them to go ahead and experience their work.
Mm-hmm.
And it opens up the possibility of being more compassionate to the families that you're serving,
right,
more engaging to the community that's coming onto your campus, and ultimately just being a better partner with the world around you.
Yeah, I like that.
Right.
Well, let's bring the audience up to speed, and me included, up to speed on Forest Home Cemetery and what have they been up to for the last 174 years?
Yeah, well, okay, so let's start at the very beginning. Actually, before the beginning, I think one of the things that that is really enriching about the Forest Home Cemetery in particular, mm-hmm, is it really started from an act of generosity. A rector from a church that still operates today donated the initial 70 acres to form the cemetery, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there were other acquisitions and donations that ultimately created the space today that the 189 acres that the cemetery resides on, just a little bit north of St. Luke's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so our first burial was held in August of 1850. Orville Cadwell, and there's a monument there that they erected several years back to honor him, and over that time we've served almost 120,000, just over 118,000 burials.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of tradition, a lot of legacy, a lot of compassion.
Yeah, and so it's been, I mean, that's been a really big part of how we've connected with the community. And as we've gone along, one of the challenges that all cemeteries start to run into is, well, do you have enough space?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or what happens when you run out of space? And Forest Home hasn't gotten to that point yet, right?
Yeah.
With the changing dynamics of death care and the way that burial traditions are forming, we're anticipating between 100 to 300 years worth of space availability, depending on how the traditions,
right, how they kind of continue to evolve.
Yeah, and so it really begs the question in our immediate moment, well, what do we do? And one of the things that we've done really well over the last 10 years, and it really started years before that, is we started engaging the community in several different ways. And our sister or associate nonprofit, the Forest Home Historic Preservation Association, they're hosting over 35 public tours this year. They have a large volunteer engagement program. We're going to be doing some edging on monuments and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have our really big events, our three key events: the Memorial Day event, our Dia de los Muertos later in the fall, and then just before that we've got our Spirits of the Silent City, which has been a really big program for the community.
And those are all open to the public?
Yeah, they
yeah.
are.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And just, we'll do a wrap-up of this at the end as well, but just for our listeners, where can they find more information about those types of events?
Yeah, on our website we have an entire space set aside for the ways that we're engaging the community. And so they can see all of those and the volunteer opportunities. You know, when you're a nonprofit cemetery, the volunteer opportunities that you have to help the community engage the work that you're doing, but also, you know, experience the rich history and the connection that we have. It all comes together in those experiences.
And I have heard great things about the space and the tours. And I think you just said it well, that rich history, you know, of like, and the different families and generations that are at rest at Forest Home Cemetery.
Absolutely. And that's surrounded by an incredible group of volunteers. They are the docents that work to satisfy that area of our practice. Mm-hmm. They do their own research, right? And they niche their own tours for very specific topics. And so and the topics are they're all over the place. And I think that's great because it creates this cross-section of who the community is in Milwaukee.
Right. It takes a lot of listening to do that, too, to be able to really curate what people are interested in presenting and what people are interested in hearing, too.
Yeah. And they do a great job.
And I'm sure that you've seen, and we'll get into this after our break, but just some of the things that you've already mentioned about the history of the cemetery and even these current events that you have cultivated and continue to honor, just how different cemeteries are probably viewed today and in the future as they have been in previous years and previous generations.
Oh, yeah. I think that there is this moment that I came into in my first several months there where I was recognizing that what I thought I was getting into was this industry, the death care industry, but really what started to shape up was that cemeteries, because of the way that they operate and how they serve, they are unique spaces for social change.
Yeah. Well, let's take a short break and we'll get into more of that topic when we return. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor for Ellen Becker Investment Group, and my guest today is Jason Seymour, President of Forest Home Cemetery, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, independent nonprofit cemetery. We've been talking about cemeteries, obviously, and about death care traditions, and so we're going to get back into how cemeteries, Jason, in your team's view, how they can impact social changes, how they impact society.
Well, and maybe to take a step back on that particular idea and just look at the cemetery's changing role in how society is engaging it. And one of the things that you start to feel when you go through this process over the year, and I'm sure many of my team have been there for, in some cases, a decade or more, feel this as well, is that society in a lot of ways is outpacing the life of the cemetery. Mm-hmm. And that can feel a little bit unsettling if you are a cemetery, is that, wow, things are moving really, really fast off campus. Yeah. And people are innovating a lot faster, and they're innovating even in how they memorialize their loved one. Mm-hmm. And then the question starts to come up, well, they don't have to remember their loved one the way that they did in 1900 or 1925.
Right.
Right? Today, they have videos. They have digital videos. They've got pictures. They have their social media footprints, the audio recordings, and all of these artifacts that they can kind of hold on to, and that then allows them this ability to remember differently.
Right. It's a lot different than having just maybe some handwritten letters, like way back, right? Before that type of thing, and then you had the cemetery and the place to go, and with very traditional burial traditions. Right, that's a whole different view. I know we'll get into that as well.
Yeah, and the real kind of nuanced question in that moment is, you know, everybody has looked at the cemetery as a place to remember, but is that really what the cemetery exists for. Maybe, mm-hmm. you know, maybe there's a part of it, but is that its sole purpose? Is that, well, we're here just to make sure people don't forget.
Yeah, right. So how do you see that? How do you see that? Where do you see that going? I guess is what I want to say.
Yeah, I think that in a lot of ways, the society's relationship with death has been distanced.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I was listening to one of the members of my team give a presentation, and she was talking about the way that memorialization and death care was handled in the 1800s and in the 1900s, and how a lot of times people would just put the casket in their living room.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the undertaker would come in, and they would take that casket out with them, and they would make the journey to the cemetery.
Right.
And I had heard, a member of our board, he had commented that that's actually where the term "to hell in a handbasket" came from. It's because they would actually literally have a handbasket.
Yeah.
That they would take people out of the homes with, mm-hmm. and they would take them to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
And so.
So then, comparing that to more recent either generations or today, like the difference of having, like, lying in state in your home, right, as part of the burial tradition and funeral tradition and memorialization, to now, what are the trends that you see?
Yeah, I mean, the growth over the last, say, 60 to 80 years,
mm-hmm.
in cremation has been a largely transformational change in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
That the cremation offers something different to those grieving a loved one and the loss of a loved one, and so what's happening is the process of memorialization isn't actually connected always with that moment of grief.
Mm-hmm.
That there's sometimes some distance between that.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And so they could be years before they decide, okay, well, I need to go ahead and I need to memorialize mom or whoever.
Yeah, in this particular way.
Yeah. And so I want to say in 1960, when I was looking at this information, in 1960, the cremation rate was just above 4%. Right. And today... Yeah. Cremation accounts for 55%, and in some cases even higher, depending on your geography.
Wow, that's a big change.
Oh yeah, and that's a huge trend, and it's going to continue well into the future. They're projecting potentially 85% of the end of life decisions to be cremation.
Right.
That's a big shift.
That's a big
for
shift.
A cemetery.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially for a cemetery, and so other pieces to that. That you feel are relevant to the conversation with this move towards cremation. I think that is something that many people I know, family members, friends, clients, that is where their decision has led them.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, when you look at the researchers, at least the things that I've looked at, and I've kind of coined it into the three C's of cremation that are really driving that decision. That in that moment when grief is happening, the families are valuing convenience, mm-hmm. they're valuing cost, and they're valuing creativity. And cremation offers that, right?
Yeah, it does.
We have to make a logistical decision in an end-of-life moment, and this gives us the space to go ahead and say, okay, there's the process of handling the logistics, but then there's also this other thing that I want to be very creative in how we remember mom. I want to be very mindful of how we're putting this into practice.
Mm-hmm. And very intentional. And like with that creativity allows for something that is more unique to that person, that you've lost, more unique to and personalized to that family and the community that's grieving.
Yeah, and so then you look at how the actual industry is structured. And Wisconsin's a unique state. It's a unique state in the sense that I think it's one of maybe two states. All other 48 states are what are called combo states. In Wisconsin, we are what's considered a non-combo state. And that what that really means is funeral homes have to operate distinctly as funeral homes, and cemeteries have to operate distinctly as cemeteries.
Okay.
And so they can't co-function together. They have to service the family, but they have to service the family distinctly separate, which is something that doesn't exist in other states. But here in Wisconsin, we have to navigate that challenge, and it requires really creating strong relationships with the funeral homes.
Right. And right. Getting on the same page on how to do that gentle introduction, or however you view that, right? To mm-hmm. where there's a they can help, you can work together to navigate a solution that works the best for that family.
Yeah, and then and on top of all of that, what ends up happening is the funeral homes and the cemeteries. They're feeling I think a distinct pressure. In relationship to much of the funeral home and cemetery organizations being consolidated,
mm-hmm.
right, and being corporately run. And
right.
that creates a really distinct challenge for a cemetery like Forest Home.
Right, yeah, right? Being a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. We operate as a nonprofit. We operate, we have a board, we our management and everything is all local. And so funeral homes come in and they're like, hey, we need you to service this. And unlike a corporate cemetery that might have, you know, multiple burial teams and things like that, what we end up having to do is we have to collaborate with that family and say, hey, you know, we're that traditional cemetery, that local cemetery. Mm-hmm. We have to plan this out. It may be, you know, we may need to flex a day or
yeah.
you know, adjust the time because we have other families that are doing that same thing.
Right, right, right. It's probably a bit complicated on planning, and you don't always have a lot of time to plan.
Yeah.
When it comes to this, you know, with the different ways that people do things, either immediately or with some time in between. You know, we'll take a short break. When we come back, it'd be great to talk about some different things, even like the relevancy of a cemetery based on some of the things you just shared. You know, and talking about that, like transformation and serving your community. So with that, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor with Ellen Becker Investment Group. And my guest today is Jason Seymour, President of Forest Home Cemetery. We've been spending this conversation talking about cemeteries and the future of cemeteries and traditions and the past and what the death care industry really means. So, Jason, thanks again for joining us today. Let's dive into, based on some of the conversation that we've just had, about the use of cemeteries, the changing of traditions, the creativity that families are in appreciating and enjoying when it comes to memorialization. Where do you see, or your team, where do they see like cemeteries really being right now?
Yeah, no, it's actually a conversation that we've had recently. Like what makes a cemetery relevant today?
Mm-hmm.
And I had a recent staff discussion. We met as a team, and I put this thought exercise out there, and I said, all right, you run into somebody. I had read a Reddit article online.
Reddit, gotta love it.
Yeah, and it was talking about, you know, cemeteries are a waste of space. And so I walked in, and I said, well, you meet somebody, and they say cemeteries are a waste of space. How do you respond?
Mm-hmm.
And it was fascinating. You know, we had a really good dialogue. It was back and forth, and that was really important for me. And I'm coming into my first year here, and I want to build culture. And one of the things I want to be able to do is talk about challenging things. And so they did that. They talked about it, and it was a difficult conversation. And we got to this point, and I asked this follow-up question: agree or disagree? Cemeteries have value because of the community they support. And there was complete agreement that without community,
right,
the cemetery loses its value. And so in there, we were really kind of wrestling with this value proposition, if you will. The core of our value proposition has to be surrounded by the idea of how are we serving and engaging the community. It's not just about remembrance.
Right.
And and so the cemetery, as you start to look at it, it's art in a lot of ways. It's an expression of a community that experienced one person's life.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it.
Right. And one of our core values is human dignity, that regardless of who you are, your life is worth remembering even after it's been lived.
Mm-hmm.
Your life has value even after it's been lived. And I think that's a unique value for a cemetery experience.
Yeah, I think that that's an important piece as a way to look at the work that, that cemeteries do.
Yeah, and it's a huge contrast to the way that we operate in everyday life. When you come onto the campus of Forest Home and you see really everything written in stone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that is fascinating. So when you think about so you mentioned that about serving the community. So how does Forest Home serve the broader community or even the Forest Home community? I guess the question is kind of, how do you define community?
Yeah, well, exactly. And when you're a nonprofit cemetery, that's all you've got, right? Is how you engage the community. What are you doing to make an impact in that community? And the question that is really on the table for our team is, well, can cemeteries do that? And I think absolutely they can. Mm-hmm. I think cemeteries are uniquely equipped, not the least of which is that death is a universal experience.
Right. It's not a matter of if, it's a when.
Yeah. And so this crosses all of the diversity boundaries. And everybody is going to have to wrestle with this at some point. And the cemetery gives us the space to do that. And so... with this contrast where we live in this society where nothing really lasts, right? Mm-hmm. There exists the cemetery.
Right.
And it gets to be this place that is uniquely structured to allow the community to express itself.
And I would say, you know, what's interesting is the locality of people, right? With families being spread out across the country, across the world, so much more. And to have a place that is meaningful to somebody, right, is an important thing. And so that's a way to engage the community, is to have that human dignity, that's that, you know, that remembrance of someone and respect of someone, even though maybe the rest of their family lives across the world.
Absolutely, and that's actually a challenge, right? With people not settling in one place and staying there for a lifetime, there's this like, well, is this really where I'm going to end up? But either way, right now, Milwaukee is going to be here, right? The community is going to be here, and to be this multi-generational expression of the community, that being able to both celebrate the successes of a community and also, right, hurt with it through its scars, the successes and the scars of the community, they exist, they coexist in the cemetery.
There's a lot of great nuggets that you're saying that I just love. When we think about that sense of community, especially nonprofits, you know, I do some work with nonprofits, and it is about, it all starts with community, and that's where your heart needs to be and where your soul and your focus needs to be, and then how you serve them. You know, I think that this is an interesting view on how to look at a seminary. You know, my thoughts are probably different now than when I walked into the interview. So I don't know if our audience will share that same type of shift in how to see this. So when we talk about like your like Forest Home's response to the changing of the community and the desires and needs of the traditional pieces that you serve, you know, talking about cremation, talking about tours and volunteer opportunities, you know, how has that really led you to the future?
Yeah, so I mean, we have the Forest Home has an opportunity to respond to the community and what it's, you know, and what it is doing in its celebration of life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And one of the ways that we have to do that is be more welcoming.
Yeah.
Right. We've got to, mm-hmm. we have to let people know that cemeteries, while historically they've been places of mourning and grief and solace, cemeteries today, right, in Forest Home are really places where we want you to come onto our campus. We want you to feel welcome. We want you to celebrate with us,
right?
Life gone by. And so the tours, the educational events, we've had several schools tour our campus because of the historical buildings that we have, and then also the historical people who have made an mm-hmm. impact on society. And so those are really great opportunities for us to say, hey, you know what, this isn't just the place that you come when your family is hurting. This is a place that you come to appreciate the people that you're sharing life with,
yeah.
even if you don't know those people.
Right, right. And, you know, really thinking of it when you were mentioning the way that you view a cemetery, you know, I think back to like, you know, when I was in like junior high, right? And it's the spooky place that's, you know, that's the haunted, it's got ghosts and, you know, whatever you would kind of games you try to play in there. But really thinking of it, no, it's filled with history and it's filled with ancestors. You know, whether they're yours or someone else's, it's an important place to like reflect and learn and be able to, you know, kind of grow into things.
Yeah, it really is. And people that surround the cemetery, the genealogists or the people that are really, really interested in history, there's this moment where all of a sudden they discover another story.
Yeah.
Right? And that is so enriching. And then that adds another page to the cemetery's book.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We have this library of life stories, and now somebody can say a little bit more about it.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, too. Now, another piece of the work that I know you guys do is the kind of caring for the environment. And so, you know, we'll take a short break, and I'd like to get to know a bit more about the different alternatives that may be becoming more popular just in what I've heard about, and then even what you're looking for forward to for what Forest Home does. You know, it is a lot of space, right? It's a beautiful space. And just some of the things that you can do to help protect that and the surrounding area. All right, so we'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor with Ellen Becker Investment Group. And my guest today is Jason Seymour, president of Forest Home Cemetery, a 174-year-old independent nonprofit cemetery in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We've been talking about many things about death care traditions, about cemeteries, a little bit about history, a lot about the future, about community, about all these wonderful things. So as we enter into this next part of our conversation, can you share with us a bit about the space from like the environment's perspective and what you have in place with some different alternative traditions that have become a bit more popular as well?
Yeah, no, so we're an accredited arboretum.
Oh, that's
right?
Amazing.
We're a level
yeah.
2 arboretum in the last several years. And with that, we've got 2,600 trees on our campus. And there's a really big push right now. We've partnered with the MMSD.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really big push right now to see if we can, the goal is to get another 1,000, but we'd be satisfied with several hundred.
Yeah.
Right now. We've got a lot of space. And that's really important. It's important to that surrounding community, that area around there. It doesn't have the green spaces, and
mm-hmm.
so we can be that for that
yeah.
for that area. And so that's important to us, and it's part of our value, one of our values, which is ecological stewardship. And so, you know, being more environmentally minded is a big part of where we want to go as we go forward.
Right. I think that that's all going to be really important. And we all know that it's a piece that can't be overlooked.
Yeah. And, you know, even in the death care space, right, mm-hmm. There is a process called green burial.
Mm-hmm.
And Forest Home entered that green burial space, I want to say, you know, maybe about 15 years ago, maybe a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And that green burial is... It's another expression, right? It is an expression for people. There are people who are thinking about the environment, are very mindful of that, and what they want to do is they want to express that even in as they process their own death.
Sure.
Right. And so mm-hmm. green burial is something that has there's a big following across the nation. It's a growing trend.
Yeah.
There's a council that exists for it, and they talk about all of the different nuances that make a burial green.
And you'll share some of those.
Yeah. So a green burial, logistically speaking, right? When people ask this question of me, they're like, well, what's the difference between a regular burial and a green burial?
Sure.
The real overarching difference is that when something goes in the ground in green burial,
mm-hmm.
it has to be biodegradable.
Okay.
Right? So So you have this one kind of overarching premise. And so as you get into that, that means that the jewelry that's being worn or if there's any non-biodegradable keepsakes,
sure.
That would go in. It doesn't have traditionally with the burial, you have a vault. There's a cement vault that protects the casket. The casket itself, right, can't have any metal with it.
The casket itself is biodegradable?
Yeah. There's some people that just use burial cloth.
Okay.
There's some people that are choosing to do something as simple as a cardboard box.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have, ornate biodegradable baskets.
Okay. Yeah, that's a lot different than when you think about very traditional burial. However, with other pieces also becoming more popular, like cremation, right? Like this is also if we open up our thoughts to what, you know, like the values behind it.
Yeah.
Right? Someone's value behind it and choosing that, you know, in advance of their death, that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. And so maybe to close up the logistics side of that, there's also a sense of, okay, well, we want to keep the earth right where it was. And so with a traditional burial, we can bring in dirt from other areas of the cemetery or, you know, just have it on the ready. Where in a green burial, we honor that space by using the same dirt that we removed initially.
Okay, interesting. Right?
So it's all part of a practice.
And is there an accreditation that a cemetery has to go through to be able to do these green burials?
The Green Burial Council does have a certification.
Okay.
Right, that they'll go ahead and they'll say, hey, these are the practices that need to be followed in order for your burial space to be considered Green Burial Council certified.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense because you'd want to make sure that was really doing what the intention behind the person that wants to be buried that way, right?
Yeah.
So having that like credentialing process is important, really, in anything you work on.
It creates this, you know, for a cemetery, we talked all about this community, and now all of a sudden you get to this point where you're talking about green burial. And you don't have a way to memorialize. How do you do that in a green space?
Mm-hmm.
And so what we do to create that sense of community is we have on the perimeter of our green space, we have a boulder, right? And there we're able to go ahead and inscribe the names of those that...
In the space.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get kind of a bit of both, mm-hmm. right? That more traditional grave type marker, but in a way that, again, if this aligns with someone's values.
That's right.
Yeah, I think that that's pretty interesting, and it'll be even more interesting to see how things evolve in that space as well.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when you start to look forward, the being environmentally minded mm-hmm. as an organization is just good stewardship.
Right.
It's just good stewardship, and I think that organizations just like cemeteries, right, need to be thinking about that. And cemeteries have a unique opportunity because they're just natural green spaces.
Right. Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. There's a lot that goes on in a cemetery when we look at, like, environment and rainwater and sunshine and, you know, mm-hmm. the plants and the trees and the other living things in that space.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the future, you know, we talked a bit about, like, different trends in end of life, death care, talked about some environmental care that Forest Home and other cemeteries, I'm sure, are working in that space. What other roles do you see that the community plays back to a cemetery?
Yeah, well, and as you can, you know, earlier when we were talking about that staff conversation, community plays a really big part. And so the community is really responsible for being there and engaging with us in ways that they've understood as, like, hey, this is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great quote by a guy named Sir William Gladstone. He was a prime minister of England. He has a quote that says, "Show me the manner in which a nation or a community cares for its dead, and I will measure with mathematical exactness the tender sympathies of its people, their respect for the laws of the land, and their loyalty to higher ideals."
Hmm.
I think that when you hear that, that kind of embodies the role of a cemetery and its relationship to the community.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's great. Well, this has been a fascinating conversation for me. I appreciate so much that you've joined this to share with our audience. And, you know, it may have really spurred a lot of different questions from our listeners, too. And so, you know, what's the best way for people to get a hold of whether it's you or Forest Home and know more about the services and community engagement that you offer?
Yeah, I mean, we're on Facebook, so you can connect with us on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Also, our website, foresthomecemetery.com, will guide you in different places if you're looking to engage as a community member or explore the different ways that we can partner with you in memorializing a loved one.
Yeah, that's great. Well, again, thank you so much. This has been a really engaging conversation. I know that I think I've learned so much and also likely changed my thoughts on a few things as well, and I've got more to think about a long, long time from now when I need to think about my own.
Yeah, your time.
Yeah, I'll take my time on that one. So thanks again, and for our audience, just to remember that Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 to 3 p.m. and on Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m. If you enjoyed today's show and want to learn more about Ellen Becker Investment Group and our upcoming events, you can visit ellenbecker.com or call the main office at 262-691-3200. And as always, I hope that we've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. And before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. I also wanted to share that Ellen Becker Investment Group is hosting a tour to the historic Forest Home Cemetery on Thursday, May 9th from 2 to 3:30 to learn more about its rich history and burial trends and traditions. This episode has made me even more excited for the field trip. To sign up your group, visit ellenbecker.com/events.